The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. This segment, by the way, this hour, brought to you by Zyn. Zyn nicotine pouches. Find your Zyn nicotine pouches. Learn more at Zyn.com. Or just call up Bill 80. He'll tell you all about the wintergreen. Big fan of the wintergreen, I'm told. Still to come this hour, Mike Somich. He's got hockey plays. He's got basketball plays. I feel like because I went down that sports radio rabbit hole with the whole... my whole theory about how two games ago, Tim Connolly's universally panned trade for Rudy Gobert might have otherwise been considered the greatest trade ever if they won a championship. I feel like because we went down that rabbit hole, we didn't really actually get to discuss. This is a de facto best of three now between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves. Do you feel like it is a done deal now? Like, I guess we shouldn't be so quick to get there.
No, not at all.
But you make the point. You made the point earlier, which I think is the right one, which is, okay, well, you can count on Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
But you trust anybody else on that team?
That was always the big question heading into the playoffs, right? It was, and I think it's the question that Anthony Edwards helped cover up early on, right? Because he was amazing every single game, and they were winning. You didn't really have to ask where else is offense going to come from when you need it. And I think last night was you finally saw that. There are some guys that have struggled defensively. Yes, Gobert has not been his best. I don't think Naz Reid's gotten played off the court at times. But there are – it's also so easy. It's so easy to say that, Gil, and not bring up who they're defending. Like, Nikola Jokic, he's pretty good at basketball.
He's pretty good at basketball.
Breaking news. Pretty good. Anthony Edwards had a great game last night, but he can't be the only guy. Look, Jamal Murray's looked better, right? He looked better game three, game four than I think I expected him to.
Do you think that the odd break between games two and three, literally from Monday to Friday, helped the Nuggets?
Yes, but huge. I think it gave it longer. I think it gave it a longer amount of time for the Timberwolves to walk into game three with that terrible mindset, right? It's, oh, we stole two in Denver. Now we got a few days to relax.
Like Anthony Edwards even said after game three, he was like, I just wasn't there.
Yeah. And then yes, to give Jamal Murray time to heal up. Yeah, it was huge.
All right. So game five in that series, mm-hmm. back in Denver, that's tomorrow night. The Nuggets are 4-point favorites. The total's 205. Game five of the Pacers Knicks is also tomorrow night. We'll get in that momentarily. But as far as tonight's games are concerned, game four, back in Cleveland, Celtics Cavaliers. We talked about this a little earlier. Celtics favored by 8, totals 206.5. And then the Thunder and the Mavs. The Mavs are up 2-1 against the number one seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. Talk about a superstar that you can rely on in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But then who? Mavericks 1.5-point favorites we're showing. I'm showing one as well. You've got a lot of pre-flop positions on the Mavericks, so you might not be the right guy to ask. But if you were landing on this right now, how would you feel about this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll keep saying from what I said from the beginning, I still think there's value on the Thunder a little bit. Game and series, it's kind of been there throughout. Luka's, they might have two wins, but man, I don't know how you could watch all three of those games and leave if you're a someone like me holding Mavericks tickets, leave every game thinking, okay, this is looking good.
I have very little sense of this series.
Right. He is struggling through it. Yep. And, what's going on with Oklahoma City? I don't think there's any major problems. You are seeing Mark Dagnall getting outcoached by Jason Kidd, which is not, something you'd probably like to be saying about the coach of the year, but I think it's a fact. It is. You're seeing adjustments getting made on the Dallas side that need to be made, and Oklahoma City. There's some stuff they're doing, and then there's some stuff, Gil, that I think people think there should be adjustments to that they just don't have the answers for. And it's Chet Holmgren's been amazing. Every time he's off the court, they're getting destroyed on the boards. They're getting destroyed down low. Ever since game one, they really came out with an aggressive defense that you don't see often. It was we're going to take away Luka and Kyrie, and we're going to take away anything at the rim, but we're going to leave wide open corner threes and stuff like that. And they've kind of had to adjust throughout the series. I think, though, that they still have the room to go upward. And if I was betting this game or series, I would still be looking Oklahoma City way. I do think they have the slight advantage. Nothing I'm going to be doing, though. I still have Mavericks tickets. It's too close. It's too close for me to go bet the Thunder side when I think the Mavericks have a chance here, but I still think it's a little bit mispriced.
It's funny that on paper, you would think the Thunder Mavericks, if not the number one, would at least be like the second most marquee series in terms of just what you would gravitate towards. I find it so far the least interesting because I have the least handle on it.
Interesting. Okay.
And that includes the Knicks and the Pacers, which are tied at 2 apiece now, which I find fascinating because it gets into the Tom Thibodeau conversation. Yeah. Knicks, by the way, are 2.5-point favorites. Game 5 back at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. The Pacers just absolutely destroy the Knicks in Game 4. That after the game where Nembhard hits the step-back 3 to, obviously the biggest shot of Game 3, Pacers-Knicks breaking the tie late in that game, and the Pacers go on to win, where Halliburton had sort of held the ball too long deep into the shot clock, and they get bailed out. Yesterday, Pacers led by as many as 23 in the first quarter, led by 20 at the end of the frame. DiVincenzo, Hart, Brunson were combined 2 of 15. Got to as many as a 30-point lead in the second quarter. It was 28 at the half. They led by 38. The Pacers did after the third quarter. As many as 43 in the fourth. They won by 32. The best one was the Pacers led by at least 20 points for the last 34 minutes of the game yesterday. And so now you get back to Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are, by the way, they win 121 to 189, easily covering the 5.5-point spread. Back at MSG tomorrow night, and the Knicks dealing with all these injuries, but really it comes back to the Tom Thibodeau discussion, which has dogged Tom Thibodeau's coaching career really for as long as we can remember, which is he plays his guys too much, his main guys. He does not, during a regular season, spread out his rotation as much as he should. Though this year, when you look at the actual numbers, none of his guys are in the top 10 of most usage. So he leaned on that a lot. He's like, look, it's not even the case this year. Yet here we are in the postseason. And with the exception of a game like Game 4, because the Knicks got blown out, and so he had to put bodies in there and take some of the players off the court. Essentially, in a normal Knicks playoff game, what you're getting is a 7-deep rotation, right? DiVincenzo, Brunson, Hart, Hartenstein, Precious, McBride, and Burks, basically, is your 7. And you do have to ask yourself at this point, even if the Knicks are to get past the Pacers, then what? But I don't know. How do you feel about them in this de facto best of three now?
I think this is getting really fascinating. I think this one's going to be tight, too.
And is all that fair about Thibodeau, by the way?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's all fair. I think the only problem I've had with people talking about Tibbs is a little bit of the, when I hear the same people complaining about how nobody plays during the regular season, then it's immediately, oh, Tibbs, it's malpractice what you're doing playing these guys too. Hey, don't be the guy who said both. Don't be the guy who said, that's my only problem with that. Hey, if you want to feel that way about what Thibodeau's doing and playing these guys too much, that's fine. I just don't let me hear you all throughout the season. Nobody plays in games. No, it changes. It depends team to team, right? Look, as far as we know, I think OG Anunoby, a lot of that injury you could put on, hey, this guy is playing way too many minutes. I think that's fair to say.
You can't say that about Brunson?
Of course you can. Yeah. I think we're also at the point in the playoffs, though, where you look around and you're trying to put your best guys on the floor and maximize everything that they've got. I didn't really personally, we know, like you said, Gil, we know Tibbs. Like, we know this is what he does. Rolling into this postseason, I really had no problem with what they were doing. It's easy to look back now and say, why were you doing that? I think this gets interesting, though, because I still think the Pacers are mediocre as hell. They are.
So is there resurgence in defense? I shouldn't even say resurgence. They're all of a sudden propensity to play defense. You think that's more about the Knicks being banged up and the just fatigue.
Yeah, I think OG's a huge loss. Yeah. OG's a huge loss. I don't think it's been talked about enough. As much as it's been talked about, I don't think it's talked about enough. He was incredible. Their record with him there, with the 4 losses since they joined the team, was amazing what he's done in both sides of the ball, and really even offensively through these playoffs. I think for this game, I did take a little bit of Knicks money line. So I had, this is where you've been out of weeks. Like, I was loaded up on that Knicks series price. they eked out that game two win. After all the injuries, I was like, okay, time for me to buy off a little bit here because who knows how this goes. Another interesting game three, though, right? The Knicks had a chance to steal that game three in Indiana. And if that happens, we're likely talking about, okay, let's just project forward. What does this Knicks team look like in the Eastern Conference Finals, as banged up as they are? No, Pacers able to take game three, easily win game four. Now we're right back to 2-2. This is a brand new series. I think there's a little, just from the numbers, I think there's a little value on the Knicks. Like, I think there's value in the Knicks series.
Although, if I'm a Pacers guy, I would say, well, we kind of got screwed in games one and two by refereeing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm saying. They were lucky to be up 2-0, almost lucky to be up 3-0. Yeah, they're right there. This is a close series. It's always going to be close with the Knicks. I still think that Brunson is, when he's even 90%, Brunson is better than 90% Tyrese Haliburton, that what you're seeing in this series. And he's too much for the Pacers to defend.
It's just that you're asking this little dude to just carry everything game in and game out. And at some point, you think in the NBA playoffs, that runs its course.
Yeah, we might be seeing it. We absolutely might be seeing it.
All right, I'll ask the same question of you that I asked of Jay Kahn. You're forced to make one series bet now. Obviously, in the case of Cleveland and Boston, Cleveland's like 23-1 to win it. But the other ones, OKC's plus 172, down 2-1. T-Wolves are plus 151 in a knotted-up series, and the Knicks are plus 115 in a knotted-up series. What's the best bet?
I'll go Knicks.
Knicks plus 115.
I'll go Knicks. They get two at home. If they can stretch this out to three, I give them a pretty big advantage.
Well, look at those NFL numbers as the schedule on the cusp of coming out. We'll do that next. Samich as well. Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We had a little Sinatra this morning, a little Bananarama. Seeger, of course. Anything else we missed?
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. Not the actual artist.
Just name, Dawson's
name
Creek.
Of the show.
Hey, put yourself in my age range. That's all you know it as.
What was that, CW? Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, CW.
Who was the star of Dawson's Creek?
What was that guy? James Vanderbeek?
Oh,
is that his name?
Him. James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. Vanderbeek, right? Yeah.
Did he ever do anything ever after that? Did he do like a football?
Varsity Blues?
Football
Varsity
movie?
Blues? That was a great movie. Come
and
on.
He wrapped it up.
I don't know about anything after that.
Paper Mike says, oops, I made a boo-boo. It was supposed to be Kelly's shin, not chin. So apparently that's the joke.
Yeah, it's okay. Dustin's enjoying all of this right now. Apparently everybody's screwing it up is even funnier to him. So
it's from we get tweets. This is from Derby Day Day. Derby Day Day said, welcome back, Gil. I think you're right about the bump in WNBA wagering. Here's a tip for the ANG fam. He says, Caitlin Clark, Mania has pushed the Fever win. It's the Indiana Fever win total to 20. Remember, it's a 40-game season, by the way. Majority of the league was 500 last year, while Indy struggled to get to 13 dubs. So he's got under on the Indiana Fever.
I think like it's
fading
be,
Caitlin.
It's a little bit got to be the same reaction to like Lionel Messi, right? Remember him joining Inter Miami last year? It's like the only bet you can make is under, right? Like everybody's going to be running in there to bet overs and wins and everything like that.
Messi was a mid-season thing though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Let's see. Doopadoo Logic 3227. When Denver went down 2, I took them to win the series at 3-1.
Good on you.
And parlayed with Iga to win the French. Wait, they were only 3-1 to win the series when they were down 2-0? That's it?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Let's see. Ray, wreaking havoc, said Knicks certainly got screwed game three. I think the ref meddling is pretty even at this point. Yeah, no, for sure it is.
That was the Carlisle post-game stuff. It worked exactly like it was supposed to
work. Rick Carlisle after game two. With the big speech of how after game one, the Pacers were going to submit all of these things to the league, and they decided not to. But that after game two,
had enough.
It had enough, and they were going to submit to the league. I always love how Shaq takes the absolute 100% stance of, that's not how a champion behaves. You don't submit stuff to the league. You don't do it that way. You fight through it if you're a champion. It's kind of how Shaq said it.
It's pretty good. Now, I have Nuggets 4-1 after game two, but that's what we had at DraftKings.
Not for a second did I even think to even look at him down 2-0 to even play that? Nope, not for a second.
I mean, yeah, Murray was looked hurt. Like, good on you if you did. I mean, I was so disgusted with Jamal Murray after that game two crap. Like, that is... It's really tough because, you know, I really like Jamal Murray. Oh. Watching him play these last two games, you're like, he's a great player when it matters the most, like right now. But that game two towel crap still bothers me. It bothers me.
The very interesting career of Jamal Murray, who has never made an All-Star game and yet has these unbelievable postseason. He's a champion and he's had these unbelievable shots, multiple shots. To win games, huge games in the postseason. By the way, the other bit of NBA news, which we didn't touch on because we didn't really think about betting it at all, if it was even available, was the draft lottery was yesterday. Was that the most low-key wait the NBA draft lottery is today, NBA draft lottery of all time?
A little bit. I knew it was coming up, but it was another one of those. Last week I was losing my mind about the NFL schedule. I was like, don't they, like, organize this whole show? How do we not know this? And then it like took a couple days for them to finalize that. Felt the same way about the lottery. I was like, isn't this supposed to be coming up soon? And then
But this is the difference between like it being in prime time versus, you know, like, oh, here it is, just as it used to be in the middle of the day of an NBA weekend. And the Atlanta Hawks win the lottery for the first time in 49 years. Because of course they did. Because there's nobody to pick.
With a 3% chance. The thing I kept laughing at myself thinking of yesterday, Gil, was you can't tell me. Don't tell me for I'm sure everybody in NBA front offices and sports front offices across the country do their best a job possible, right? You can't tell me there wasn't one guy in the front office yesterday that when that happened was like, oh, crap, we got the number one pick. Like, I have not been thinking this way, preparing this way, looking at this draft this way at all because it is a watered-down draft.
Considered to be, once again, in case you missed it, the worst by many scouts to be the worst NBA draft of all time, where the prize, quote-unquote, at the top is you take your pick, Alexander Sarr or Zachary Risache, two French players. That ain't Wembanyama, by the way.
Right.
So, good on the Hawks.
Sarr's the name you keep hearing the most.
I thought the Wizards were going to win it because of this. I was like, oh, I'm sure the Wizards are going to win this because there's nobody available.
Sarr at minus 180. So, apparently a good fit for Atlanta.
Plus 180?
Down to minus 180. Wow. Minus 180.
Wow, yeah. That's different from what we have up on the screen here, where he's plus 210.
Yeah, these were, these must have been before the lottery. But still, that's a big move.
It's also like, would anybody even want to trade up for one? I mean, I doubt it. It's like, well, we got to get Alexander Sarr.
That's what I'm talking about, right? Like the lottery where you're like, yeah, we'll be number 11 or 12. Oh, wait, we're number one? Like, I got some work to do now.
My only other observation from the lottery, did anybody else notice this? Why was Ime Udoka so angry? You notice how angry he looked the whole time?
I didn't really watch it, probably just because he had to be there. I feel like there's one or two of those guys every year that are like, oh, man, the team asked me. I have to go, but, like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, but if I was, like, his advisor, given what he's been through, right, I'd been like, maybe smile.
It might help, yes.
Yeah, maybe not so angry. So that was the other thing in the NBA that happened yesterday of no real note when it comes. By the way, I don't know if the NBA draft will see what's available betting wise. Could be interesting if people put up some stuff because, I mean, certainly bettable.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what the availability will be widespread on that. So we'll figure that out.
That's going to be interesting to monitor because I remember talking to Luke Swain about that and I was like, hey, you're going to be betting the NBA draft.
He's like, I don't know what'll be there.
He kind of chuckled. He's like, I mean, I'll bet as long as they post stuff. He's like, I just don't know how much of these books are going to post stuff. We talked about that a little bit of just, especially after these past couple NFL drafts, you know, are people really going to be, beating down the doors of the sports books to make sure they post things? I don't know if we're going to get as much of that with the NBA.
NBA draft this year is on June 27th. The date, the date in the calendar doesn't help either. Middle of no man's land. And then the NFL is going to come out with schedules, not tomorrow, but on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. NFL schedules. And you can bet on such things as most wins, fewest wins in the National Football League. I don't know how much you've dived into this.
A little bit. We did get game one announced today. And this we is did. We'll get the next couple days, right? Some leaks coming out. And it is Ravens Chiefs is your Thursday night opener, September 5th. Ravens at Chiefs. Already been movement on this game, Gil. How about this? DraftKings posted 3 and 49.5. We're down to 47.5. People like the under on Chiefs Ravens.
Ravens at Chiefs, your Thursday night opener.
Yep.
All right. Looking forward to that. Did you want to do some of the most wins, fewest wins? You want to throw those up there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
let's throw them out.
Yeah,
why not? We got them. Let's take a look. Let's take a gander. Now, remember, we've done some schedule stuff, and we've actually made bets here on this show because we know the opponents. We just don't know the sequencing. That's what we're waiting for on Wednesday. Remember, that comes down to which team is playing three straight road games, which team has the most aggregate rest days, which team has the fewest aggregate rest days. So really, there's no way of knowing that here as we sit here on Monday. But just to let you know, most regular season wins, the Chiefs, no surprise, are the short shot at +475, followed by, you know, some of the usual suspects, the Ravens, the aforementioned Ravens and the Niners, both at +550. Then it's the Lions and the Bengals, both at 9-1. Everybody else is double digits. How about the Falcons at 13-1? Stop it already. Stop it.
So they have by far the easiest schedule based off of win total. That shouldn't surprise you, though, with the NFC South being as bad as they are.
That was the big joke yesterday, is that the Hawks are going to take a quarterback at number one.
That's pretty good.
Rim shot.
At least somebody that could play quarterback.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I think it's interesting because you laugh at the Falcons, Gil, but like every one of these other teams above them, I think there's division, like there are teams within their division that could pose a problem. I'm not saying I'm running to bet the Falcons. I always love the fewest wins market better.
You're right. But, you're right. There's a scenario where that could be a thing. But it's also one of those bets where if you make it and it turns out to be a terrible bet, you feel real stupid about yourself.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, that's where 13-1 helps you a little bit better than 5-1 or whatever, but I'm with you. I think that's possible.
Jets 14-1 to me is more ridiculous.
The
Jets at 14-1 is, come on, stop that.
Yeah, I couldn't bet that. And as much as I like the Bills, like I couldn't bet that for almost the same reason. The AFC is just going to beat up on each other.
Are the Bills and the Dolphins still in that division?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, just curious. So I think that's the worst bet on the board.
I mean, Ravens, like, I can bet the Ravens at +550. AFC North's going to be brutal.
Just flash up fewest for a second, if you will. Fewest wins in the NFL here on the cusp of a schedule release. Panthers, Patriots, both +450. Can't wait to see who's got the last winless team this year.
God, Patriots feel good in this market, but that price is short. Raiders, 12-1?
This will be fun to talk about once the schedule comes out. Stuff to bet. Love that. Samich on the other side. He's got hockey. He's got basketball. He's got bets. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. When you use promo code ANG with VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG as in aid numbers game.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. So much to talk to this gentleman about. Horse racing, basketball, hockey. He does it all. SamObomb18 is where you can find him on Twitter. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, we have him now. He's the co-host of The Handle. Weekends here, noon Eastern at the network. It's Mike Samich, everybody. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, Gil. Doing great. It was a fun weekend. Good Mother's Day. And we got still some great sports stuff. I'm excited about the schedule release on Wednesday as well. It's going to be a great day to be able to actually comb through that, see who gets the advantages from a rest perspective, and see if anyone has that gauntlet that Philadelphia had to run last year.
Yeah, it's always a gauntlet in there for somebody. Do you do the whole aggregate rest? Do you do that calculation as well?
I do that. Not going to be able to do it right away like I have been in years past. Matt and I are going to be hosting a schedule release special, and that's going to be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday. So just an hour after the schedule releases, the two of us are going to be on air trying to comb through it and figure out who got the advantage.
I love it. I love it. We did that on Primetime Action live, real time. Remember that? We were just trying to figure out as it was coming out. By the way, you characterized Mother's Day as a good Mother's Day. Do you care to explain?
I did well. You have to win Mother's Day. When you're a husband and you've got a child, you've got to win Mother's Day, one of the most important holidays every year.
You got to win it. What are you, competing against your child, or are you just impressing your wife with the creativity of a new child?
You are competing against years past, Gil. You got to make sure you keep slowly upping the ante. You can't do it too big every year. You got to just slowly go through. I made the mistake the first year going too big, had to ratchet it down year two, and then have slowly built up each year after that, and it's worked out great.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go with the bank points answer, but no, Mike's just a good guy. He's just trying to outdo himself.
Where does it end, Mike? You got to pace yourself. Right? I mean, you could be married from now to the end of time, for God's sakes.
I could be. I'm hoping as the daughter gets older, the Mother's Days get less dramatic, right? So you tone them back. You don't have to go as big for them. But I ran the gauntlet here. I got through Valentine's Day, got through the wife's birthday, got through Mother's Day. Now it's my turn. My birthday comes up, Father's Day coming up. So I'm good until basically the anniversary now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I require nothing on any of these days. Birthday, schmirthday.
You know, since we're on the topic, what I've wondered about is where do you cut off the line of who you wish Happy Mother's Day and Father's Day to? You know what I mean? Like, how close of a relation, friend, whatever, do they have to be to you?
I struggled with that yesterday.
It's tough.
I was like, do I call that person too? Do I send that person a note?
It becomes a lot. That's all I'm saying.
It becomes a lot. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. What were you saying?
I'm a more is less guy. My mom, my sister, my wife, my grandmother, we're good.
Yeah, then there's a couple friends. It's tough.
See, that's right. I'm like Mike. I try to keep it just to family, but it becomes tough. Yeah.
All right, we got a couple segments here with Samich, so we're gonna let this breathe. But let's start with basketball. One, let's talk about the bet that you and I have. No, let me rephrase that. The bet that you goaded me into, which is when I made a line. How many total number of losses the Celtics would have throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. I made it at 5.5. I said, you can't make it any lower than that. You laughed at me. You mocked me. You spit on me, and you said, I'll take the under. Let's bet dinner. Right now it's at 2. Would you agree that the outcome of tonight's game is huge in this bet?
It's definitely very important, Gil. I would love to have a cushion going into the finals of the Eastern Conference, but to be honest, this broke so well for me. Not just the how it's set up with the Heat in the first round, and now you've got this Cavs team in the second round, but the Knicks and the Pacers are just beating each other up over on the other side of the bracket as well. Yes, Porzingis is out, but it doesn't feel like that's going to be a huge issue for the Celts if they are able to move on. But yeah, tonight's game is big. Getting out of this series 4-1 would be huge for my side of the bet. And if they lose tonight's game, we go back to Boston 2-2. You got to think Boston is winning game 5. But then you have a Boston team that just kind of is lackluster at times. I don't trust them to step on the throat in game 6. And then it could get really hairy for me in that final series. So I'd like to take care of business tonight, because I think Boston game 5 is going to go Boston's way. It's just whether or not we got to come back to Cleveland for game 6. I don't want to be in that situation.
Well, where it really broke for you, again, let's be honest. Antetokounmpo got hurt right after that. Jimmy Butler got hurt. Embiid was struggling with injuries. You had it all go your way, Mike Samich.
Porzingis isn't playing though, Gil. That's not great for me.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. We'll see what happens in that game. Let's start with the NBA. What are your plays tonight?
Yeah, I'm laying the first half of the Celtics. I did it in game 3. I'm going to do it again here. You can get Celtics -4.5 in the first half. This is a Celtics team that's been phenomenal all year in the first half, one of the best first half teams in the NBA. And if I'm worried about anything, it's just them kind of getting lackadaisical later in this game. I think they come out, they play well again here. We saw the same thing in game 3 and then started to tighten up a little bit toward the end of game 3. The Celtics still able to cover, but the first half cover was never really in doubt. So I'm going to go back to the well here. Celtics -4.5 in the first half, Gil.
Celts -4.5. And then you like something in the nightcap, Mavs and Thunder. You like a play on the total.
I do. I'm surprised this was adjusted as much as it was. So the total in game in the previous game in Dallas was 217.5. We've seen this one readjust down to 214.5. I don't really agree with the adjustment. We started to see some over money come in. Right now it's 214.5, 215 in different places. But if you go back, you watch game 3, the reason we went under there was not because of possessions. It wasn't because of shot attempts. It was because of missed shot attempts. There were some wide open looks, especially in the first half from 3-point range, which both of these teams missed. Thunder started out, I believe it was like 1-for-8 from three. You had Giddey shoot a bunch of threes in that game. You had Dort shoot a bunch of threes. Those aren't the guys you necessarily want taking them from OKC. The pace was still there. The shots were still there. They've gone over this total in 4 of the 6 games that they've played this year. I'll take the over since it was adjusted down too far in my mind here.
All right, let's do this thought exercise. I asked this of Kelly earlier, and we kind of ran us into a wall here, so I'll give you a chance to reconsider your answer. The 4 NBA series that exist now, and obviously the Cavs are the one sort of outlier. They're 23-1 to win their series against the Celtics down 2-1. But we'll throw them in. Their Cavs are 23-1 down 2-1. The OKC Thunder are +172 in their series down 2-1 to the Mavs. The T-Wolves are +151, looking at the exact number here, knotted up with the Nuggets, but no longer with the home court. And then the Knicks, +115 with home court, tied up at 2 apiece with the Pacers. If you had to make one bet on one of those plus money teams, the bet would be on the...
The New York Knicks. I bet them for the series. I still like them in this series. The injury is obviously piling up for them. And you kind of saw what happens when this Knicks team loses a bunch of different players. And all of a sudden, if DiVincenzo and Brunson aren't able to score consistently, this team's in a lot of trouble. But I trust this Knicks team, especially on the offensive side against this Pacers defense. They had a 130 offensive rating through the first 2 games of the series in New York. I expect they're going to be able to get it back going in New York again. And they've got home court advantage. To me, that's the other big difference. Of the other three, it would be OKC. I think OKC has a shot at beating Dallas here. I like Dallas in the series, but at the +165 price, with a game tonight in game 4, where if they win it, they're going to flip to the favorite. I would play OKC of the teams that do not have home court advantage at this point.
Chance to change your answer or keep the Knicks as your answer?
I'm staying with Knicks, but I don't think I could argue with anybody wanting to jump in on any of those three dogs right now. I think you can make good arguments. I think the Knicks and Thunder, though, specifically are a little mispriced.
The correct answer is the New York Knicks, just because of the mechanics of the series, right? 2-2 and that they have home court. It's grading the answers. And I think
yeah,
Mike
to swoop in.
And I think Mike is right. No, I think just the mechanics of that makes that the obvious answer. But I think Mike is right that OKC is the second choice at +170, right?
I mean, I liked the Timberwolves before that series began. I think at current price, you're talking about the same sort of thing as before the series.
All right, so let me just go, as we go back on the show, because I started the show by this whole thing, Mike, where I was saying how 2 games ago, we were on the cusp of having to reckon with the fact that the Rudy Gobert trade might have not been the worst trade in NBA history, but could have been justified as the best if it were to have won the T-Wolves a championship in some bizarro scenario. That's where a headspace might have been 2 games ago. Do you think that this series is over? Like, how do you feel about it right now?
I think the series is unpredictable. You watch game 1 and game 2, and you saw the adjustments Denver able to make in game 3 and game 4, able to get both those games. You got to think Minnesota readjusts going on the road. And it's funny you mentioned Gobert. I want to see this Timberwolves team without him on the floor. I really think that this is a better team without Gobert. Yeah. When you're able to space with Naz Reid, when you've got Towns shooting threes, and you're still not that big of a liability on the defensive end, I think that's the best version of this Timberwolves team, especially against this Nuggets team. Because look, Gobert, when he was in with the Jazz, he struggled with pick and roll against these type of guys. And that's what you're going to see a lot from Denver. And it looked like in certain times that he was really struggling with it again. And he's just not a threat on the offensive side like Naz Reid and like Karl Anthony Towns are.
Yeah. I want to be clear again. I'm as loud as anybody is saying he never should have won Defensive Player of the Year, let alone anything else. I'm not a fan of his. Certainly not a fan of his gestures of the money signs. Yet we might have had to have dealt with that narrative if the T-Wolves won it all. We just would have, because the trade would have been justified. Horse racing, hockey next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. I thought the promo was read so beautifully that they were so excited about it. But apparently it's just a Sigma Derby game.
There are noises coming from Sigma Derby in the past half hour that I've never heard before. So I think they're hitting over there.
What's going on over there?
There's a crew.
All right. Mike Somich, kind enough to join us for a couple segments. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. SomoBomb. There we go. Mike Somich, everybody.
You always like to keep the crew on their toes.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, everybody's back there. Okay. Real quick before we get off the NBA. Who's in the NBA Finals and who wins it? Once again, the answer to that is still?
I think it's still Denver and Boston, and Denver wins it.
Okay. That's what I thought. Now, two games ago, what would you have said?
Oh, man. I would have said Boston from the East, obviously. The West becomes much more difficult. I kind of like this Dallas team. If it was Timberwolves and Dallas, I think I would have taken the Dallas Mavericks in that spot. So I guess I would have said two games ago, Mavs against Celtics, with the Mavs winning. Celtics win the title.
I don't either.
No, I wouldn't have. I'll admit, I would have said Minnesota. If you would have asked me after game two, I would have said Minnesota, Boston.
That's why I think that Tim Connolly, I was about to say Kevin Connolly, that Tim Connolly scenario is like, yeah, we all hated the trade. Guess what? They won an NBA championship, so guess it was a great trade. Okay, let's talk hockey. Obviously, the NHL playoffs is near and dear to your heart as well, and you have a play tonight.
I do have a play tonight. Yeah, we got a couple games tonight in the NHL, and it's going to be fun to be able to watch these two games as well. It's been a just phenomenal series over there. You've got the Hurricanes, you've got the Rangers, and this series was 3-0 Rangers. We saw the Hurricanes bounce back, win game four. If you go back to game one and game two, and you look how these games were priced in New York, you saw the Hurricanes as slight favorites in both those. You're able to catch plus money with the Rangers. I didn't really agree with that. I don't really agree with how this game is priced tonight either. If you look at game two, it's one of the best games we've had all playoffs. Game went to double overtime. The Rangers able to score in a double overtime, win that game. Game three was an overtime game. Rangers able to score there. They win that game. So this wasn't really a 3-0 series. And now all of a sudden it's priced like the Rangers are the better team here. I don't fully agree with that. I think that the Hurricanes can get it done tonight. So I took the Hurricanes -108. I thought they should be in that -120, -125 area. I think they're going to send this game back to, or send the series back to Raleigh. And I said this over the weekend when it was 3-0. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes seven. I think we're going back to the Garden for seven games in this series.
All right, so then I don't need to do the whole elaborate setup that I just did with the NBA NHL style. I think you already answered it. Is the Canes at +425 the best dog series adjusted price out there?
I would probably still take the Oilers if they are a dog. I didn't look at the series prices this morning, but the Oilers to me would be a team where, look, last night they lost to Vancouver.
Slight favorite. Oilers -115, yeah.
I can't take the Oilers. They're the team that's currently losing that I have the most faith in coming back. And it's because if you look at like the expected goals last night, they dominated that game. If you look at shots, they dominated that game last night. They just weren't able to score 5-on-5. Vancouver got some, I'll call it, soft goals from Skinner in that for the Oilers as well. Oilers are the better team. They should win game four, make this a 3-game series. And at that point, you're going to see the Oilers somewhere in that -160, -170 range to win the series. So if I was taking anyone to come back right now, it'd be the Oilers. I do think the Canes are live. The problem is, I think it's what? It's like a 2% chance over 2% over the last over the NHL playoffs that someone's come back from 3-0 and you're getting 8-1 when they were down 3-0. That price just isn't right. It should be closer to 30-1. And you're not seeing the correct price right now either with what I believe is the likelihood of them coming back. Because let's face it, if two of these games go to overtime, one bad bounce ends the series. Right. And there's no room for error here for the Hurricane.
8-1 was all you were getting on the Hurricanes down 3-0. Really? Wow.
8-1. Yeah. We were laughing about it on the handle because Matt and I were both like, the Canes are live here, but 8-1 is just the wrong price to be betting it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Even though, again, it has happened in hockey before, it's still a historical anomaly. All right. Horse racing. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but it's the Preakness this weekend, the second leg of the Triple Crown. Yeah, no.
Is it, Gil? No way.
No. Listen, we do a lot of investigations here on A Numbers Game. I'm not sure if you're aware of our seven on your side arm to this show, but we discovered that. Now, here's the big deal. Mystic Dan is racing. Now, there was some question about this. Can I just get you? You're a horse racing guy. Where do you come down on this debate of, well, you know, because it looked like for a period he wasn't going to be in this race. And there is a side to the argument, which is nor should he. It is too quick of a turnaround for this to happen. Where do you come down on this?
It's not too quick of a turnaround. I think that the disadvantage here is the horses that did not run in the Derby that got the rest that now get to show up in the Preakness, right? And so that's what makes it so hard for some of these Derby winners to come back. Look, we've had Triple Crown winners. We've had multiple in the last 10 years. I'm not going to sit here and say it's too fast of a turnaround. It's supposed to be hard to win the Triple Crown. To me, the other thing that's funny is we need to space the Triple Crown races out more. We need to have a month in between both of them so we get all the horses back. It's like, there's so much bigger problems in horse racing. The spacing of the Triple Crown shouldn't even be in the top 10. So at this point, you got to look at what we've done in the past. And if the horse is good to go, if the horse comes out of the race healthy, which by all accounts, Mystic Dan doing very well. He galloped well at Churchill. They shipped him over to Pimlico. They're excited to run him in the race. I don't see why you need to worry about that 2-week turnaround if the horse is ready and good to go. Yes, it is difficult. It's supposed to be hard to win the Triple Crown. It's not supposed to be easy. So you have to put some of the better horses in situations where they're up against it in a way, right? And the Preakness is one of those spots where you are up against it because you've got horses who are waiting for you in Baltimore versus had to run at Churchill. And you've got two Bafferts that are going to be in there, both Imagination and Muth. Muth most likely going to be your favorite. You've got a Tuscan Gold for Chad Brown, who was waiting, and he's going to run it back. But you also see horses like Catching Freedom, who was in the Derby, who has decided to run in the Preakness. And so it's not just Mystic Dan who's coming back in 2 weeks. There are multiple horses. There's a ton of money up for grabs. The horse is doing well. You run the horse.
Are you a Muth guy?
He's going to be tough. He's going to be really tough in this spot. I mean, Baffert very good in the Preakness, but you also saw him in the Arkansas Derby. He was phenomenal in that race. He was able to beat Mystic Dan by open lengths. Just Steele ran second in that race, but Muth never looked like a loser. And you go back to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Muth was the favorite in that race. I thought he ran a good race, but Fierceness just freaked in that race. And we've seen Fierceness do that a couple times. Unfortunately, he didn't do that for me at the Derby, but we've seen him do it a couple times. So you got to think that's a very good second place for Muth as well. So we've seen him tested against the best of two, and he ran exceptionally well. We still saw him tested against some of the best of three, including your Kentucky Derby winner, and handily beat him. I think he deserves to be a short price. I'm excited Mystic Dan's going to be in the Preakness. He's going to be a great fade for me. I hope he gets bet. I hope he's 2-1, 3-1 in that spot. Fair odds for me would be closer to the 6-10-1 range for Mystic Dan.
Yeah, because I asked you before the Derby, is there a Triple Crown, if there is a Triple Crown winner, who is that horse? You said Fierceness was the only possibility of that. And to the casual sports, to the casual horse racing person who is more of a sports bettor, who says, you see the Derby, Mike, of course nobody knows what they're talking about. Fierceness finished 15th, just a touch finished 20th. Nobody talked about Mystic Dan. To that person, you say,
that's the beauty of horse racing. There's a reason he's 20-1. What does it take? You have to hit a six teamer, right? To get a 20-1 payoff. How easy is it to hit a six teamer in sports? Not very easy, right? In horse racing, you can do it in 2 minutes. And last year when we picked Mage, we had 15-1 in 2 minutes, and that was great. And that was one we saw coming. We're not going to see it every year. You're going to have years where you're not able to capitalize on it because the Kentucky Derby is the biggest variance race in horse racing. There's 20 horses. They're going a mile and a quarter. None of them have gone that distance before. You're going to get trip trouble. And you look back at that Derby. Look, Mystic Dan ran phenomenal. But Brian Hernandez Jr., his jockey, won the race. He was the reason Mystic Dan was able to win with the trip he got. He got saved ground on both turns, got him out of the gate well, was able to go through literally a keyhole on the second turn to get through at the rail. If he has to go too wide on either turn, he doesn't win the race. If he doesn't get through that hole, he doesn't win the race. All of these things were jockey dependent. And that's the beauty of the Derby, is that the best horse doesn't always win because of the trip that they get. And that allows you to handicap for those trips and try and find a price. And you just don't usually get that opportunity where you can make legitimate cases for horses that are 15-20-1. And you can actually cash those tickets if you're right.
All right. So we'll find out. Again, this is a much shorter, much smaller field here at the Preakness at Pimlico in Baltimore. And then 3 weeks hence, we do the Belmont, which is not at Belmont Park this year. It's at Saratoga. That makes it a little less fun, you think?
I mean, I love Saratoga. I'm not a huge Belmont fan, so I think it's going to be a blast. I actually think it's going to be a great race. They're shortening up the race distance. So the Belmont generally run at a mile and a half because of the size of the Belmont racetrack. Because of the size of the Saratoga racetrack, we're running at a mile and a quarter this year. So the same distance as the Derby.
Right.
I think you're going to have a very big Belmont field because of that. You're going to have a lot of horses that want to win the Belmont and now don't have to go that extra 2 furlongs to get the mile and a half distance. So it should be a great race in Saratoga as well.
All right. Odds that we're going to have a different winner in each of the legs is pretty high, would you say?
Extremely high. I think Muth wins the second leg, and I think you're going to see, I think Sierra Leone actually has a really good shot at winning the third.
Oh, okay. There you go. Mike, always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You got it. Good luck this week, guys.
Mike Somich at SomoBomb18 on Twitter. He didn't take the numbers game investigation thing literally. I think he kind of thought it stumbled on us. Like, oh my God, it's the Preakness. We've done all we can do. Go, Joe and Golic next. Enjoy.